The lesson tonight is entitled Proper Attitudes Towards Our Work. This morning we talked about being a walking example, how we have the choice if we want to be negative or positive, and hopefully we'll choose to be positive with our example. This evening we're going to talk about proper attitudes towards our work. A story was once told some years ago of a woman who was going through chemotherapy for her cancer, and she woke up and had three hairs on her head. She looked in the mirror and said, "Well, I guess I'll braid my hair today." The next morning, she woke up and one of the hairs had fallen out. And she said, "Well, looks like I'll part my hair down the middle." And the next day, she woke up and only had one hair left. And she said, "Well, looks like I'm going to wear a ponytail." And the next day, she didn't have any hair. And she said, "Well, looks like I don't have to fix my hair today." In what could have been a very sad and traumatic situation, she made positive with what she had. Is that story true? Well, probably not. But the theme of it can go with us, that while things may go bad in some areas of our life, we can still continue to be positive in sharing the good news with others. And that starts with having a gratitude for the privilege to work. Paul certainly possessed this attitude, as he also possessed the attitudes of our other points. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, "I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service." When we obeyed the gospel going into the watery grave of baptism to come up and walk in a newness of life, this scripture spoke to us. We have the opportunity to share the soul-saving gospel with those who are around us. That should help us to understand that we do have a privilege to work. We do need to have a gratitude when doing this. Do we appreciate the honor it is to offer service in the kingdom of the Lord, the most high kingdom that there is? I had heard of a man some years ago that did not want to go and door knock for the congregation because it made him uncomfortable. But he was a member of the Lions Club. And when time came for him to knock doors to get glasses, he would go and knock doors with no problem to get glasses. And is the Lions Club a good program? Absolutely. Chris, you're involved with Lions, aren't you? Lions is a great program, but I'm sure Chris would even say the highest program, if we're going to use that terminology, would be to be a soldier in the Lord's army. That should be our number one priority, and we realize the privilege that we have to work. So what type of attitude should we take in the work of the Lord? We need to have that gratitude and privilege to work. As Paul again penned in 1 Corinthians 15:9-10, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." There was a lectureship maybe a decade ago. I'm not sure which lectureship it was, but I know this did happen. Chris may be familiar with it. But someone asked during a Q&A with a panel who the best preacher in the brotherhood is. And I can assume that the person asking the question wanted the men on the panel to drop names, big names. And instead, one of the people said the best preacher in the brotherhood is probably someone we've never heard of, who's diligently going out into his community in sharing the soul-saving gospel. We as Christians shouldn't be looking for notoriety amongst the brotherhood. We should be striving to seek and save the lost. We should be striving for those who don't have salvation instead of having our name on a piece of paper or have our name in the paper. But we follow with verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. When we see that it's by the grace of God we have this opportunity, all the glory goes back to the Father. We can take no glory for our own. So when we understand the privilege that we have to work, what type of work should we give? Hard work, diligence, and energy. Hard work, diligence, and energy. Like those in Nehemiah's day, we need to have a mind to work. And as Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6 says, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. When we look at the Hebrew, which I'm going to butcher up for you tonight, Vayehi leblim lesoth, which could also be translated, for the people had the heart to work. Working is a mindset that we have to have. It's easy to want to sleep in on a Saturday morning. You know, you go to work all week. You got a day that you get to sleep in. You know what? I don't want to give up that day to sleep in. When we understand the most important thing is to do work for the Lord, that day of sleeping in can easily be brushed away to do service for God. If we are to serve, which we are, we need to serve heartily. And how much more for the Lord? When we look in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and verse 24, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. I love that passage. I love that when we're obedient and we do what we're commanded to do, we are guaranteed a reward. We're guaranteed an inheritance, and it's not an inheritance that we'll receive on this earth. It's one that we'll receive for all eternity. In Ephesians chapter 1, we see that heaven is our inheritance. But when we look at the verbiage of the passages, we can see a different side to inheritance. When God created mankind, it was His desire to have all of us. Yet sin separates man from God. And we see from John 3:17 that God desires all men to be right with Him. So when we consider the attitude that God has, it is His desire for everyone, everywhere, to be obedient to Him. Some have a skewed view of God, that God is sitting on a cloud, in a big cloud throne, and has a big book, and He's watching us intently, and when we mess up, with glee, He erases our name from the book of life. And then when we repent, rolls His eyes and writes our names back down again. This couldn't be further from the truth. When we understand that God made us in His image, His love that He has for us, those who are obedient, those who do His will, are going to spend an eternity with Him forever. We are God's inheritance. We are God's inheritance. God wants us so desperately to do what's right, not only in our lives, but to also share that with others through hard work and diligence. You know, some people are like blisters. They never show up until the work is almost done. We familiar with people that are blisters? I'm familiar. When I was in high school, I was big muscled up guy. I mean, I was twisted steel. And I'd flex, but I don't want to tear my favorite jacket. And when we would go to move someone, one of the first calls a family member would make would be to my family. And my dad, my brother, and I would go and help them move. And it never failed that as we're lifting the last box and putting it in the truck, all of a sudden other people started to show up. Oh, y'all are done? Oh, that's a real shame. Aren't we going to go eat? Right now, I'm on that. I'm on the eating part. But we don't need to be blisters. When there's work to be done, let's not wait for others to do the work. Let's be ready and involved. One thing that happens with a blister, if you want to look at my hands later, I lifted weights so much when I was in high school that the calluses were orange, and I still have that some 11 or 12 years later. I have calluses, orange calluses on my hands. You know, every now and then we'll break a callus, and it's kind of gross. I'm not going to go into detail, but if we don't take care of the sore, it can get infected and can cause a lot of different problems. And again, we don't need to go into why infection's bad. But I'm sure there are oils to help us out with that. Right, Keely? Able to get some oils, really bust down some of that stuff. But we look at a slothful person and compare them to a blister or an infection. And God views the person who is slack similarly as the one who destroys. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. I'm sure we're all familiar with brethren who behave badly. Sometimes people forget that they represent God and will in some ways act in an immature and unchristlike fashion. And when we think about the damage that they can do to the reputation of deacons, elders, brethren, preachers, we don't look at them fondly. We say those are people who destroy. From this proverb, we see that whoever is slack in his work is the brother to him that destroys. To brethren who are lazy, who don't have hard work, who aren't diligent, God views them in the exact same light as those who destroy the church. We're either going to be active and energetic, or we're not. In the same breath that we're going to be pleasing to God, or we're not. Now, everyone has different talents and different abilities. Some don't have as much energy as they used to. Remember time when there was more pep in that step. But there are still things that can be done, from the youngest Christian to the Christian who served in their life the longest. I love talking about the body of Christ. I may have even mentioned that the last time I preached here. When I was in junior high, I was in the seventh grade, tore my ACL playing football. I was one of those weird kids. I woke up as a man one day, had to start shaving at 12, and was 5'10". So all of a sudden I show up and it's like, hey kids, what are y'all doing? I was a grown man and tore my ACL. And the doctor said, you know, we can't do your ACL reconstruction, the anterior cruciate ligament, the ligament on the front of your knee. We can't do that. We can't fix it because your growth plates are still open. Let me tell you, I was pumped. My growth plates are still open. I'm going to be 6'5". This is going to be great. I stopped at 6'1". I guess that's okay too. But I imagine, what if the doctor didn't care? And he said, you know what? There's a chance this could cause a problem. But instead, we're going to go ahead and have this surgery. And let's say that it did cause a problem. And my left leg didn't grow at the same rate as my right leg did. My gait, my step would be messed up because of just maybe an inch or two of imbalance. And when you have that imbalance and you don't wear a shoe or something to help make things even, your hips go out of place, your lower back gets torqued, you end up going all the way up to your neck and have headaches because of your leg. You know, the body of Christ can be viewed as similarly. Some people think, well, you know what? Nobody's going to notice if I don't do anything. No one's going to notice if I'm not there. Brothers and sisters, we notice. When some of the body isn't functioning properly, let's say that makes the leg a little bit shorter, affects the entire body, causing the body not to function properly. We all have a responsibility. Find what you can do. If you don't know what you can do, talk to the elders. I'm sure there's things that they would like to have done right now. And that's being said without hesitation. If you want to work, there is a place for you to work. If you're wanting to serve the Lord, there is a place for you to serve the Lord. We need hard work, we need diligence, and we need energy. We also need initiative. We all like it when someone takes the lead. Initiative has been defined as the willingness to do what is right without having to be prodded. And when it comes to our Christian responsibilities, we shouldn't have to be reminded of those responsibilities. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, we read, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress." We should all be able to look at the brethren that are around us and say, you know, they're not the same Christian they were last year. I can see that they've grown. I can see that they've matured. Things aren't the same for them starting in 2014 as it was starting in 2013. We're in a better place. We can strive to do better. We can strive to do more. When we see something that needs to be done, don't criticize, energize. See that rhyme? The poet didn't know it, make a rhyme any time. When we don't criticize and we energize, we're looking for opportunities to do service and not to slough our responsibility onto someone else. When we look for these opportunities, naturally we're going to fall into positivity. There was a song written in 1941 you may be familiar with by Harold Arlen. He was listening to his preacher preach and heard a colorful phrase. In 1945, the song lasted on the Billboard charts for 13 weeks, peaking at number 2. The song has been performed by the Pied Pipers, Bing Crosby, Sam Cooke, and Aretha Franklin. The name of the song, "Accentuate the Positive." We as Christians should accentuate the positive. If we wanted to accentuate the negative, all we need to do is turn on the TV. All we need to do is turn on the news. The news is the most violent show on television. We had 3 shootings, and here's blood in the street from the bodies that were shot. And they talk about the bad things and the things that are stolen. If we want to look at things negatively, let's just watch the news. Let's see our society go into moral decay. We can sit back and all of a sudden we're losing hope. We're in a generation now that's not going to love God. There's no use in what we're doing. But that can't be true, because that's not what the Bible says. When we understand the purpose of accentuating the positive is finding places like here at North Jefferson where the brethren love to work, where the brethren love each other, and where the brethren want to seek and save the lost. In our own individual walks, we can look to Philippians 2, 14 through 16. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent child of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." The chronic complainer and the negative thinker are obstructions to the work of a congregation. You know, in some places it's said that a congregation is broken up into thirds. There's a third that wants to work. There's a third that could care less. And there's a third that wants to undo what the first third's doing. We need to make this a team effort. We work together. We focus on being positive. Paul is one of the most positive people in the Bible. When he penned the prison epistles, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon, he was in prison. A little redundant there. Sorry about that. But we see in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I love the prison epistles because of the positivity that comes through those. When I was in high school, in junior high, I don't think I'd ever heard Philemon referenced anywhere. So I get to preaching school, and Bill Burke is our instructor, and Bill says, "All right, guys, write down everything you know about the prison epistles." And I'm looking at the board to make sure I've got the right books. And I don't know much. I'm like, Philippians, written to the church at Philippi. Ephesians, written to the church at Ephesus. Colossians, written to the church at Colossae. Philemon, written to the church of the Philistines. And I'm a prankster. I'm a jokester. And Bill walks up and looks at my computer screen, and he looks back at me. "Hey man, are you messing around?" And if anybody knows Bill Burke, that was a pretty good Bill Burke impression. "You messing around, man?" "No. You're going to learn a lot." Brethren, I assure you, Philemon was not written to the Philistines. You can put that one, write that one down in your Bible just in case. But we look at these books of the Bible. Paul was imprisoned. Paul was being persecuted, yet he was still positive, knowing that what he is doing was right. We can even see in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he realizes the end is near, and he's still positive of where he's going to spend his eternity. We must be positive. We look to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I don't have a slide for this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And Paul penned, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." The conclusion of our lesson. If we're going to have a proper attitude toward our work, we're going to understand what a privilege it is to be a part of the best work that there is to be. If we're going to have a proper attitude towards our work, we know that it's going to be hard work, diligent work, requiring energy. If we're going to have a proper attitude of our work, we're going to show initiative and say, "You know what, there are things that I can do. No matter what my skill set is, there's something I can do, maybe better than anyone else can do. I need to strive to find my niche." We need to do so with positivity. The world is a negative place right now. As I said, turn on the television. Most negative show is the news. Strive to be positive, and we can know that there are people that are searching for the truth. Let it be us that finds them. And when we do, let's show them the positive life and the proper attitude of work that there is. If you're not a Christian this evening, I encourage you to become one. If you see the good that's being done and you want to have your sins washed away, we would love to study with you and baptize you into Christ. Or if you're not right with God this evening, if you haven't had the proper attitude, do whatever it takes. If that means talking to someone, if that means coming forward, if that means asking for prayers, if it means speaking with an elder or speaking with Chris, do whatever it takes to be right with God. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.